for one, one for another. With the name of love above all other. In every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Glad to have you with us today. Another great opportunity, another hour to share Christ and talk about evangelization, talk about discipleship, talk about the good things that are happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Well, if you're listening to this on Saturday or Sunday, it's still hot, but we're going to have a hot day today. It's going to be very, very warm, and it's a good day to get together with a family, good weekend to get together with a family and have some recreation by water, I would suggest. We're in the land of 10,000 lakes, and there's got to be a place for you to relax this weekend. Hey, we've got a really great show for you today, and we're going to be talking about several things on the show that are really, really important. We watch the news right now, and we're hearing about Trump and Clinton and the race for the White House and Bernie Sanders and all of that. It's all important, and it's something that we certainly need to be informed about, and we need to participate in. But I was kind of shocked this morning, I'll be honest with you. There's other news around the world that is going on, and many of us are not even aware of it. On this show today, we are going to have Bishop Mariano Parra and Father Greg Schaefer, and they are at the Venezuela mission in South America, and they are going through an amazing time right now in terms of difficulty with the government and what's happening with the economy in Venezuela. And I have just learned about this myself just recently, and it's caught my attention, and I know that it's going to catch your attention too. You know the good men that are down there teaching, Father Peterson, Father Schaefer. You have taken up offerings in your parishes for this Venezuela mission. You have prayed for them. Well, we're going to hear what's happening down there today, and I think it's going to shock you. I do. I think that it's going to cause other world events that we're talking about to pale as we realize they need our help and they need our prayers for protection, for food, for the basic necessities of life. Can you imagine in Edina, Maple Grove, Golden Valley, Woodbury, Shakopee? Can you imagine in Brooklyn Park or Blaine, Fridley, Elk River? Can you imagine standing in a line tonight and waiting all night with the hopes that there might be a delivery at Cub tomorrow and just waiting for just a couple of supplies? It's that and worse in Venezuela now. And we're going to talk to Bishop Parra and Greg Schaefer, Father Greg Schaefer, about that. And it's going to be a reality check. I'll tell you right now, it's going to be a reality check. So we're going to talk to them in just a few minutes. By the way, you know, as far as equipping the saints here in the Twin Cities, we've got a wonderful catechetical institute. And you know that we have spoke about this before, the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute, a great two-year opportunity to learn your faith and to not just gather a bunch of facts about the faith, but to enter in to God's amazing plan for your life. Now, let me ask you that. Are you aware that God has a plan for your life? Are you aware that right now He has a plan for your life, and He wants to equip you to walk with Him and to share the good news all around the world? About 1,400 of you in the Twin Cities have already done this at the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. We've got an army on the ground in the Twin Cities of people who are equipping themselves and getting involved in their parish, getting involved in world missions, learning how to share their faith with their neighbors, their families, their colleagues at work. And it is exciting, and I want you to be a part of it. And I want to give you a formal invitation today. And if you've already been through it, I'd like you to take that invitation and pass it on to somebody else to sign up for this fall for the Catechetical Institute. Here for a few minutes to talk to us about it is one of our fine instructors, Deacon Joe Mihalik, who many of you know. He's been teaching in the Twin Cities for years. He's put on conferences. He's put on seminars and retreats, and he is one of our great teachers. Along with Deacon Joe Mihalik, we have Kelly Walquist, who is the assistant director of the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. We want to talk about that for just a few minutes before we go down south to Venezuela. Deacon Joe, good to have you.
Good morning.
It's good to have you on the show. And I think you came on a while ago and you were talking about the prayer.
Yes.
You did actually a seminar on
Liturgy of the Hours.
Right. Right. You've done a couple of those. They've been very successful. Well, you're going on your ninth year at the Catechetical Institute. What's your?
Yeah, you're trying to make me feel old.
You started when you were 14. What can I say? But as you think back now over the last 9 years, you've been teaching a lot. What are your basic thoughts about the Catechetical Institute in terms of the students that you've interacted with and some of your observations?
Sure. Great question. And, you know, it's worth pointing out that the students who come really cover a broad, broad range of people. Young, right out of high school, college, up to retired. We've had deacons. We have seminarians. It's actually a requirement for men in the first stages of seminary to participate in the Institute. We have men who are thinking about entering the diaconate formation. That's a requirement for them as well. We have housewives. We have professional men. We have religious sisters. We have catechists, teachers, just people in the pew, and it's a broad, broad spectrum. But the thing I see every time, again, you get to stand there in front of them, and it's a large group, often 150, 200 people, and they're listening, and they're hungry to hear and to learn. But what I see is people falling in love.
Mm.
You know, and it's not falling in love with the instructor, that's for sure.
Although they love you.
Yeah, they love us. It's not the style. It's not the flash of it. Or, you know, some of us have PowerPoints and some of us will do other things to help convey that message. But it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's encountering Jesus. And people will say over and over and over again, boy, I've really learned to fall in love.
Mm.
That's what I see, and that's what humbles me, to watch Jesus come to them in a deeper and fresher way.
It really is a love story, isn't it? It's an introduction to the one who loves you so much that he died for you, and it's opening up that relationship, and you're seeing in a deeper way who Jesus Christ really is and his plan for your life.
Amen, that's true. And you know what people will often say is, throughout the Institute, but especially at the end, I never knew there was so much to know. And I love knowing it because it helps me know him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm learning again as an adult how much God loves me and how much I can love him. And because I love him, I want to know him more.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a natural thing. We do that with anything. Like I enjoy baseball, so I'll look up the scores. I'll look up the statistics.
Mm-hmm.
I'll find out the history. And then I fall more in love with it, and mm-hmm. I want to know more. And my wife says, hey, that's enough of that. Enough of baseball, huh?
I think that's what Minnesota's saying right now, actually.
Enough of baseball.
Yeah,
well, we still love the Twins. But people love God, and they want to get to know him. And the Institute, to my mind, is just absolutely one of the best things going in the Twin Cities in the Archdiocese. Especially for adult formation.
Let's bring in Kelly Walquist. Kelly, you are the assistant director now of the Catechetical Institute, and we worked all the way back at the beginning, even a year before this got going. And we have over 1,400 people who have been involved in the program now. Well, as Deacon Joe said, we've got teachers, we got catechists and so forth, but when people leave, they're not just leaving and saying, well, check that off, been there, done that. What are they doing with their education and their experience in meeting Jesus in the 2-year program?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the things we hear the most is when they leave, they're so on fire. Like Deacon Joe said, they fall in love with Jesus. Now they want to become his hands, his feet, you mm-hmm. know, his voice. And so one of the things we hear a lot is, what can I do? How can I impart this in my life? And I just met with a core team. Each of the classes has a core team after they graduate that keeps them grounded, keeps them, you know, connected with the Catechetical Institute. And I just met with a core team from the class of St. Francis, so they graduated a year ago. And what one of the women was saying is, she's like, I just feel like I should do something, like I should get a job in this. And what one of the men on the core team said, which I thought was really great, he said, you know, I went through the Institute, and when I got done, I didn't get the position, or I didn't try to be the director of religious education, although some people are. It's very good to have that in the background, the Institute. But he said, I didn't get that, but you know what it did? It changed my life as a father. Mm-hmm. I'm a better father. I'm a better husband. I now am teaching confirmation classes. I've not done that before. He runs a men's ministry, and he said, I'm better at running the men's ministry. So what people are walking away with is this transformed heart that has now transformed every aspect of their life, and right. That's what we want.
And what let's give a description here of what the Catechetical Institute is. First of all, don't let the word catechetical be a put-off. Some people say, is that the graduation? You've got to learn how to say that, you know?
Five times fast, right?
But you know, Deacon Joe, catechetical, what do we mean by catechetical? That's a big Catholic word.
Sure, and it comes from the word for catechesis, which is simply a word for the teaching and passing on the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
That this is so, this is true, this is what we know. And so it's meant to be a simple, clear, systematic passing on of the teaching of the church.
So what we will do, and both of you can chime in, is this fall is the new class, and it goes for 2 years, and it basically follows the school year, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
The school year, and this new class, every class has a name, which the class begins to kind of take on the charism of that saint. Every class, starting with our very first one, which was the class of St. Paul, has taken on the charism of the saint. This year is going to be really special. And Kelly, what's the name of this year's class?
I know, we need a drum roll.
We do.
It is the class of St. Teresa of Calcutta.
There you go. Right when we announced that, there was a lot of people that said, oh, I got to go to that.
Yeah.
And they weren't talking about the Catechetical Institute. They wanted that T-shirt.
Yeah, right.
They wanted the Teresa of Calcutta.
And she becomes a saint, I think, a week right before we begin. So it works out perfectly.
Well, that happened another time, too, with Kateri Tekowitza.
Well, they became saints halfway through their class.
Yes, they did. See, the power of these classes. So what happens is, in the fall, the Catechetical Institute is divided up into four pillars, according to the four, you know, four courses, the four pillars of the catechism. And that's the creed, number one. That's God's amazing story. The second pillar that you're going to go through in the first year is the sacraments and liturgy. And that's how you get into God's amazing story. The second year is two pillars, and that is the life in Christ, which is the script that you live in this amazing story. And then the final one is on prayer, and it follows the Lord's Prayer. Now, those four pillars, each one are 11 weeks. There's two pillars first year, two pillars second year, following the basic school year. And then every pillar, there's two Saturdays that are formation Saturdays, just in the morning, where you really, really bring that teaching from head to heart and do some work in your heart. It's really, really, really great. And then every pillar, there is one very short paper, which is a reflection paper. It's not a big test. It's a reflection paper on, what are you getting out of this? How are you going to apply this in your life? And so that's kind of the way that this takes place.
Yeah, and we should say that each night that we gather, it's a two-hour session.
Mm-hmm.
And the first half hour, 40 minutes, is actually spent in a small group with other folks, members of the Institute, discussing that week's lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're benefiting from the insights and the questions that our fellow travelers have with us. And then we gather as the full large group and the instructor, and it's a variety of instructors, men and women from around the Twin Cities, priests, deacons. Yeah, it's a great crew. Bishop Cousins is a regular teacher in the Institute. Father Peter Williams, the vice rector of the seminary. Many people, priests and instructors that folks would know out there. And it varies throughout the Institute, but we follow that systematic presentation according to that pillar. It's really from paragraph one all the way at the end of 2 years to the very end. Steadily, peacefully, systematically, and organically presenting, passing on the truth.
And I might add that this year, this fall, we're not going to be alone. We're not going to be alone. We've got some friends from the South, right, Kelly?
We do. We are going to be also going to Des Moines. We're working with Bishop Hates and a team from Des Moines, and they're bringing the Catechetical Institute a little bit south. So we're really excited.
That's good. We're growing, as they say. Okay, so the class is the class of St. Teresa of Calcutta this fall. It begins September 12th. We take the regular Christmas breaks and so forth. And how do people get involved in this?
Well, they can go to our website, which is CI for Catechetical Institute, cistudent.com, and download an application. If they have any questions, they can call 651-962-5028. That's our office. And it's very simple. They can fill out an application form. There's a personal statement. You just write why you want to be there, why God has put this on your heart, or how you feel He has put this on your heart, and a reference letter from a friend and one from your pastor, and just that's it. It's very simple.
Let me give a special announcement here, though, and what I'm about to say is really, really big, really important. And if it doesn't pertain to you directly, you might know someone that it does pertain to, and that is this. This year, the Catholic School Center of Excellence, better known as CISCO, get this. If we had a drum roll, we'd do it again. They are offering to Catholic grade school teachers in the Twin Cities a full scholarship, totally paid for. If you or you know of someone who teaches elementary school in a Catholic school, it's free.
Yeah.
It's free. And this is the first time we've mentioned it in the media. And so if you can write that down, if you can share it with your friends, if they know of elementary school teachers who want to go deeper in their faith, this fall, the class of St. Teresa of Calcutta will be absolutely free. Absolutely free. So once again, go to cistudent.com. And get all the information. Any closing thoughts from the two of you, Deacon?
No, I think it's just, like I said, one of the best things going in the Twin Cities. It's a blessing and a privilege to have it here. Thanks be to God. Thanks to you, Jeff, for as the founder of the Institute, and now to Kelly for really carrying on and advancing this excellent work. Thanks to the Archbishop for sponsoring us.
A great team, an absolute great team. Kelly?
Oh, I'd like to encourage people to sign up. I know 2 years right now may sound like a long time, but I got to tell you what all of our graduates say is it flies. It flies.
And
by the time
they
miss it, I wish there were more. So we're bringing them more. We've got more classes coming up for our graduates.
We do. We've got some classes, some extra classes for the graduates this year, and some open classes for the public to come in and get kind of a taste. You'll find all about it at cistudent.com. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff.
Appreciate
Thanks.
It. Well, stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to talk with Bishop Mariano Parra and also Father Greg Schaefer. They're down at the mission in Venezuela. You're not going to believe what's happening down there right now. I'm serious. They're going through very difficult times, and we're going to talk about that right when we return. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and we'll be back in a moment.
Every week, TPM Flooring is using our experience to improve homes or offices around Twin Cities. I'm Tom Michaud of TPM Flooring. In the 90 years combined experience that our staff has, I think we've seen it all. From removing and updating worn-out carpet, vinyl, ceramic tile, and wood floors, to working with the fantastic new products available. TPM Flooring is ready to add value and enjoyment to your home or office. Our consultation and measure is free, and our expanded showroom will give you the ability to make a good flooring decision. We can usually have your new floors installed in about 2 weeks. We think you'll love how simple we make the process. We even vacuum our way out the door. TPM Flooring, give us a try by calling us at 952-746-5157 or tpmflooring.com. 952-746-5157 or tpmflooring.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Today on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to go down south to South America to take a look at what's happening at the mission in Venezuela. Not just an update, but really kind of an announcement that there's some tough things happening down there. If you're not familiar with the Venezuela mission, this is the effort of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Offerings are taken at all the parishes. Monies are sent down. Staff is sent down. It really is our mission effort to walk step in step with our brothers and sisters in Venezuela. Joining us today is Father Greg Schaefer. He has been on the show before to talk about the mission. But joining Father Greg Schaefer is Bishop Mariano Parra, and he is from the Diocese of Ciudad Guayana. And they're here to talk to us about what is happening down there. And Bishop, I want to welcome you to the Rediscover Hour.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me to this program.
Very good to have you. And we're going to get an update as to what's happening down in Venezuela. Father Schaefer, welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be here with you. Thank
and
you.
And the two of you are going to kind of team together, because I know, Bishop, there's a few words that you're going to ask Greg, Father Greg, about and what that means, and that's fantastic. But for those that are not familiar with the Venezuela mission, can you give us, Father Greg, just a little background on that?
Sure. It came from in the late 1950s, when the Holy Father called on the church in North America to take a more active role in helping the church in South America. And so many missions were started. The Holy Father at the time asked that 10% of the religious personnel working in North America be sent to work in South America. And then, as many bishops were gathering in preparation for Vatican II, a number of diocesan bishops decided that they too would, within their diocese, help in the efforts in trying to help the church in South America. So a number of dioceses throughout the United States started missions. And then our own diocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, decided in the late 60s to start up a mission. And then in 1970, Father Ray Mansour and Jerry Hackenmiller went down, and Father Larry Hubbard followed them soon after to start the relationship that the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis initially had with the Archdiocese of Ciudad Bolivar. And then where the priests and sisters from Little Falls were also working at the time, became a new diocese, the Diocese of Ciudad Guayana. And okay. So that's how the relationship started, initially with Archdiocese of Ciudad Bolivar, and then when the new Diocese of Ciudad Guayana was started, we were working in those boundaries and just stayed connected to the diocese.
And joining you down there is Father Peterson.
Yes, Father James Peterson, doing excellent work.
And a lot of people are familiar with him. Well, Bishop, how many people are under your care down in Venezuela?
Yes, the population of my diocese is around 1,300,000 person in. Almost all of them are Catholic. So it's a very big diocese. Mm-hmm. Also, we have, I don't know in the square, but it's a very, very large diocese too.
About 20,000 square miles. So yes. It's about three times the size geographically of the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis.
It's a huge diocese.
Yes.
Bishop, you come to the Twin Cities occasionally, and there's a real relationship between the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, with Venezuela. Is that something that that people are aware of in Venezuela, the people that you work with, that there is a relationship with us?
Yes, in our diocese, they know that we have this relationship between the two dioceses, and they are, they know that very good, very well, and so they know that I am here because I have to sign down the new agreement with the new archbishop. Uh-huh. So, and they know that this diocese, or this archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, is helping us in many ways. Like, for instance, we have two priests there, and also we have some seminarians that spend a few days, but they go there to know the reality of our diocese, and they love the mission. I mean, the mission, the people in the mission, they love the priest and the helping and the help you are giving to us.
Things are changing quite a bit in Venezuela. We were talking about this after breakfast this morning, that many of us here in the States are not really aware of what's happening around the world. We kind of become focused on our own lives and our own problems and entertainment and sports and everything else. And in the meantime, things really are not going so well in Venezuela right now.
Yes, we have a very big problem. Our political situation and our economic situation is very, very terrible, because now we have the people doesn't have people don't have food and medicine. You can't find maybe medicine for your illness. So we have many, many problems in this way. I don't know if Father can explain to better the situation.
Just long food lines. People will go and start waiting in line the night before, hoping that a supply truck will come to the store where they're waiting, not even know what's going to be in the truck. And then once the truck does arrive, they don't even unload it into the store. Mm-hmm. They just start selling many of the products out the back. And then the first people that cut or butt to the front of the line are some of the gang members.
Sure.
And they'll take what they want for their families, for their mothers. And then when they leave, then some of the soldiers come in and take what they want for their families. And then what's ever left goes to the people that have been waiting in line all night.
Now, this is not something that has been historically the situation. It sounds like there's been developments.
Yeah, lots of a big cause is the drop in the price of oil, because Venezuela, for the most part, just produces and exports oil around the world. And so when the prices have dropped, that's dropped a lot of the income coming into the country. But then I think there's something to be said for the poor management of different things throughout the years, to not being saving up for a rainy day or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And so things have gotten to be really, really difficult. Most basic goods are imported. They're not produced in Venezuela. And so when there's no money coming in for the selling of the petroleum, there's no money available to import goods.
This has to have an effect on crime.
Yes, and also the violence. The violence is getting worse every day, because the people is getting angry because they don't find anything. So they go and they are very violent with the other people, with the government and stuff like
that. So they're protesting.
Yes, they are.
Lots of protesting, lots of looting. That people just get tired of waiting in line and just, without being planned, breaking down store windows, mm-hmm. and then rushing in and stealing what they can.
It sounds like there is the possibility of complete chaos breaking out.
Yes. I am afraid of that. And this is our big problem. Because we want a democratic solution, because we can do it. Mm-hmm. Through new elections. But the government doesn't want that, because they know that if they go to the elections, they will lose the election and they will have to go out. So they don't want that. And so they are putting many obstacles to this election. But I read this morning that the government says he's going to allow the election, the new election, the referendum. I hope so.
That would be good. We're talking with Bishop Mariano Parra and Father Greg Schaefer about the Venezuela mission, a mission that your monies have gone toward, your prayers have gone toward. And we have a great mission there. And there's also a number of seminarians that are being trained in Venezuela, not our seminarians, but young men from Venezuela, and your money even impacts them, your prayers impact them, but even they are being impacted by this economic crisis in Venezuela and this withholding of food that's resulting in violence in the streets, protest, and even murder. How is it affecting the seminarians and your mission?
Well, with the seminary, Father Peterson is teaching a class now in English there, and they've decided that they're going to have to end the school year earlier. So they're asking the seminarians to go to classes 7 days a week so they can get the class hours in, because the rector and the archbishop don't have food available to provide for the seminarians 3 meals a day. They have money to buy the food, but there's just no food available. Mm-hmm. So when you go to the supermarket, most of the aisles are bare, and there's just no food. And so the seminary wants to give the guys a good education, so they're getting the classwork in, but they can't provide the food for them, so they have to finish the school year early.
That's amazing. Yes. See, that's what I was telling you at breakfast this morning, is that most of us are not aware of this, that our own brothers who are studying to be priests in Venezuela have to go 7 days a week now, not just because of the unrest and the political instability, but there's not enough food. And someone may be asking here in the Twin Cities, but didn't we give, you know, towards that? And what you're saying is the money isn't really the problem, is it?
No, not right now. It's just the lack of food. And for example, to buy chickens, if you want to buy one chicken, it's 4 days' salary to buy one chicken. And there's just not a lot of chickens are being sold, because the guys raising the chickens need the chicken feed that's imported.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no chicken feed available to buy. And so it's starting from everything is the dependency on the imports.
Right.
And it's tied to with the medicine.
Is there any way to get food and medicine into the country that is safe, that gets to the intended recipients, or is it always intercepted?
In this moment, I think it's very hard, because the National Conference of Bishops in Venezuela, we ask the government to allow us to bring medicine and food from through Caritas International.
Uh-huh.
And they say no. The only we are going to give
The government said
we're going to give the food and the medicine to the people. You don't have to take care of that.
It sounds like they want to be a hero.
Yeah, I don't know. They are very. I think that because they because they know that the people trust on the church, okay, so they don't want the people trust on the church. They want people trust on them.
Sure,
and
trust
so
the government,
this is, yes,
not the church.
This is why they don't allow us to bring food and medicine. You have maybe I hope we can do something very early, because our people is dying because they are starving.
Wow, what a situation! So how can we help in the Twin Cities here? We obviously there's thousands of people in the archdiocese that have been given money and continue to give money. They're praying and they're going to continue to pray. Is there anything else that we can do to lessen the burden of the people of Venezuela, and more to the point, our brothers and sisters and the seminarians, so that they can get the good work done?
Well, I think primarily with prayer.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing right now is praying, and we'll be gathering some different medicines and things that have been gathered for the Bishop Mariano to take back. We'll both be going back with full suitcases of donations.
Okay.
And then
are you in need right now of anything? Should people be responding, or are you okay with what you're going to be bringing back?
It depends. It depends. We need it, but I don't know if we can do it, because it's a little bit hard also, because in the customs there, maybe they will say, hey, why do you have so many medicine and food?
Tell them you're very sick.
Yes. So, yes, I will. Yeah.
So, but we have a group of seminarians coming down from St. Paul Seminary to visit in July.
Okay.
And so any donations that they can gather and bring down will be greatly appreciated.
Well, since we didn't talk about it prior to the show, I'll sort of put the seminary on the line here, Monsignor Callahan. If people would like to make some kind of contact with you and some type of help for the good people of Venezuela, perhaps they could contact
They can contact Shannon Conroy at the Stewardship and Development development and stewardship office at the Archdiocese.
Okay, Shannon Conroy.
Yep, she's excellent. She's our main contact up here in the Archdiocese.
Okay.
And
good.
Gathering supplies and sending them down with groups that might be coming.
So call the Archdiocese, ask for Shannon Conroy, and get a hold of her and find out, is there a way for you to participate and for you to help the mission in Venezuela? And I want to, go ahead, Father.
A couple of other projects that we have going is Bishop Mariano is working real hard to build a cathedral.
Okay.
We're the only diocese in Venezuela that doesn't have a cathedral yet. But we're going to be the first cathedral in the whole world that's been dedicated to
St.
John Paul II.
Really? The cathedral is dedicated to him?
Yes.
That's fantastic. Wow.
It's on the site where...
Because he was there, in the same place he was in 1985. He was there and he said Mass in that place. So we're building now the cathedral there.
That's
the same
great.
Place.
So we're real excited about that. And within our own parish, we're trying to raise funds for a hospice.
Okay.
Just because it's something that we're in great need of, both in the whole diocese, because we just have one that the Sisters of Charity run just for men dying of AIDS. And Father James and I have Mass with them every Thursday because they like Mass in English.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop Mariano celebrates Mass for them in English every Tuesday.
Tuesday, yes.
But there's so many needs for something like a hospice, so we're going to be setting one up for within our Archdiocese Mission Parish.
Well, I appreciate both of you stopping by on the show today to give us an update on Venezuela and the mission down in Guyana. And we're going to continue to pray for you. And that's what I'd like to do is just rally all of you to pray for the mission. Once again, just to give you a recap, economically, things are really at a crisis in Venezuela. The food distribution has halted. Things are dysfunctional. The monies that we are giving are there, but it's hard to get the food because the food isn't there. You can't buy what is not there. And we need to pray for Venezuela, for our brothers and sisters, yes, in and out of the mission, that God would give them wisdom, perseverance, and that God would supply their needs, in the way that he does as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And they're certainly receiving the Eucharist. They need to receive the daily bread of sustenance for living. And I'm going to ask you, the wonderful people of the Twin Cities, to make that a serious prayer concern this summer, to pray for the mission in Venezuela, pray for the work, and pray that these food chains, these food pipelines would clear up so that people would have good food to eat, and the protection, of course, of the seminarians and all those who are working in the mission in Venezuela. So we've been talking with Bishop Mariano Parra. And remember him in your prayers. 1.3 million in his diocese back home that he has to care for. And Father Greg Schaefer here in the Twin Cities, but working down in Venezuela now. And remember Father James Peterson,
that's
too.
That's right. Yeah.
In prayer. Thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate
thank
it.
You, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
When we come back on the Rediscover Hour, just a few words of encouragement to you today about living as a modern-day disciple and how to walk with Christ in an intimate way day by day. A couple pointers I want to give you. That's coming up next on the Rediscover Hour. We'll be right back.
Rediscover. The new Crayola experience is now open at Mall of America, a fun-filled family destination that brings you 25 hands-on attractions that only Crayola could create. Name and wrap your own crayon. Create colorful melted wax spin art. Bring digital art to life. See how crayons are made in a live show and more. Check out CrayolaExperience.com today. Discover the magic of color at Crayola Experience, now open at Mall of America.
Get your discount tickets today at CrayolaExperience.com.
Earn what you're worth with Home-Based Hearts, a unique business that can bring joy, wellness, and financial success into your life while helping others do the same. Be a part of a global company with a proven business model and a goal to nourish our world in body, mind, and spirit. Whether you're working in a traditional job, a student, or stay-at-home parent, this could be the answer you've been praying for. Call and learn more how you can make a positive change in your well-being and financial future. Home-Based Hearts, 763-923-3333.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you today on this hot day in the Twin Cities, supposed to get up to 95 degrees over the weekend, probably in the 90s, if you're listening to the rebroadcast. Well, we've talked about some great things on the show today, the Catechetical Institute, the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute, which opens up another class this fall starting September 12th. Applications are being taken now, and all you got to do is go to cistudent.com. CIstudent.com, and you can sign up for the class of St. Teresa of Calcutta. That's the name of this fall's two-year class. Also, go to the Archdiocesan website, find out about all the happenings that are going on there. The Catholic Watchman is gearing up for this fall, a launch in September at all the parishes that are participating, trying to get men involved in evangelizing men. It's called the Catholic Watchman Movement, and I'm working with that. Matthew James Christoph is working with it, along with Bishop Cousins, and we're really excited. Just had a meeting yesterday with the bishop about it, and he's excited about the Catholic Watchman Movement. You can find out more about that by going to the Archdiocesan website, archsbm.org, and you can search on Catholic Watchman. Well, I want to give you just a couple of encouraging notes here about being a disciple of Jesus in the Twin Cities right now and in America. You know, sometimes I think when we talk about being a Catholic or being a Christian, it sometimes just gets reduced down to what you believe. You know, someone says, "Are you Catholic?" And you say, "Yeah, I'm Catholic." And I check that box on the registration forms, Catholic, Protestant, other, whatever. Yeah, I'm Catholic. But really, to be a Catholic in today's day and age, and any age, is not just to say, this is what I believe. I know I believe these things. I check these things off the list. Immaculate Conception, real presence in the Eucharist, Mary is the Mother of God, communion of saints, you know, the transcendency of the Mass and participating with heaven. I mean, we believe all of these things. These are the things that we believe. But we believe them in the context of something greater than the individual truths, which is, it is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is the most important thing of all, is that we have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As Catholics, we have a relationship with Jesus. We also have a corporate relationship with Jesus as the body of Christ. In fact, that's the atmosphere that we live our faith in, is the church, the body of Christ. It's where we learn our faith in the body of Christ. It's where we celebrate the Mass and the sacraments. It's how we study the Bible. So the bigger picture, the family of God, the church, is really, really important. But if you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus, in other words, you walk with him and you talk with him and you listen to him and you get to know his ways and his worldview, then what good does it do to simply believe a theological checklist? I mean, what does it really mean? If we believe this theological checklist, that's good. But if you walk with him in the fullness of that checklist, then you really got something going. And I want to encourage you to build a life. Build a life. What do I mean by build a life? What I mean is to go beyond a checklist of theological statements into a real relationship. And if Jesus is real in your life and you really do believe in him and you trust him with your life, it means that you'll have a relationship with him. And relationships look a certain way. You know, my wife and I just celebrated our 38th anniversary a week ago today, our 38th anniversary of marriage. We have a certain look and feel to our relationship. We have a pattern in our life when we get up in the morning. And throughout our day and in the evenings, we have times to get together to talk. We have times where the family comes together. We have times to go to church, and we have a way of life. And if you're having a relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll have a certain relationship. And for example, if you're a disciple, there's got to be a time for you to get together with him on a daily basis. To have a relationship with him is to be with him. It's to talk. It's to listen. And I would encourage you to think real seriously about having a set time during your day where you can pray. And there's a lot of different ways to pray. You can use Lectio Divina, which is a way of praying scripture. You can Google that, Lectio Divina. It's a way of a four-part way to read and meditate and act on scripture and pray. There's the Liturgy of the Hours. There's just Bible reading. There's all kinds of ways that you can pray and talk to God about your day, but find a time during the day where you and Jesus can meet. That's how deep the relationship is. That's how real it is. If it's just a theological list that we believe, then the urgency to have a time to get together is minimal. But if it's a real relationship, then you'll want to get together, and you'll want to talk to Jesus. You'll want to come to know his ways, his worldview, what he thinks about you, what you can count on concerning him. And you will come to know him basically in two ways. And paragraph 236 of the Catechism talks about this. That's paragraph 236, if you're writing it down. It says in there that there are two aspects that we really need to come to know about Jesus, about God. And one is called the theological dimension. I'll explain that here in just a second. Don't let the word theology throw you off the road there. The theological aspect of it, but also the economy of God. I'll explain that too here real quickly. It's actually very easy. The two aspects, the theology basically is this. It's getting to know the heart of your Heavenly Father. It's knowing the mystery of the Trinity. Do you know the heart of your Heavenly Father? Can you depend upon him? You can only depend upon what you know. You can only depend upon what you know. If you are not sure that a bridge is safe, you're not going to depend upon it. If you are not sure that a job is a sure thing, you're not going to depend upon it. And if you don't know who God is, you're not going to depend upon him. So we come to know the heart of our Father through prayer, Bible study, studying the catechism, listening to the lives of the saints, participating in the sacraments regularly. We come to know the heart of our Heavenly Father. And the conclusion for me, after 40 years of studying and walking with him, the best that I can at least, is that I have really come to know the heart of my Father. Now my part is to now trust him. And that's what I have to do, is trust him. Now, in paragraph 236 of the Catechism, it says you have to know the theology, which is to know the heart of your Heavenly Father. The second aspect is called the economy of God. Now, the economy of God isn't talking about finances here. When the word economy was originally used, it was used in the context of the Father's family household plan. How do you find out about God's plan? Well, that's in salvation history. From Genesis to Revelation, God reveals his household plan little by little, day by day, piecemeal. He reveals himself and he reveals his plan. So if you engage in daily prayer, daily Bible study, I mean discipline yourself, number one, you're going to come to know the heart of your Heavenly Father. And number two, you're going to come to know his ways. In other words, you can depend upon him. Could you use that in your life today? In your marriage? At home? With the teenagers? At school? Your finances? Your health? Could you use that? Could you take advantage of knowing his ways? Would you like to depend upon that? Then come to know Jesus. But it will not happen just by learning theological truths, although they are so critically important. But they will come through relationship. And the relationship coupled with all of these truths that we've come to know spells a fullness that is so rich and so satisfying. And I know that's what you're looking for. I know it. because you're like me. We're not different. We have the same hunger and the same cravings in our life, the same need for our souls to be filled with God and not things. As St. Augustine said, he said, our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O God. And that's what Jesus wants to offer you today, is he wants to offer you that relationship where you become a modern-day disciple following him and getting to know his ways and hopefully sharing that with other people. You see, once you know that God loves you and has a plan for your life, and you go deep into that relationship, the fear of sharing that relationship with other people dissipates. It goes away. Trust me. I used to get sick to my stomach if I had to talk to anybody. Or, you know, I passed out the 3 out of the first 5 times I spoke in front of a group. But the more I got to know Jesus, I realized it's not about me. It's about him. We've had a great show today talking about what's happening in Venezuela, what's happening down over at the Catechetical Institute. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you a number of opportunities to get involved in this great Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. This is the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away. Some big, big announcements in just a moment. Rediscover.
If you can hear my voice, you're in an area where Synergy Home Care can provide high-quality in-home care for you, your parents, or a loved one who wants to stay in their own home. We know what it's like to care for an aging parent or someone recovering from surgery. What happens when you can't take mom to her doctor's appointment? Dad says he'll drive, and you know he shouldn't. Every day, their award-winning caregivers step in to help with situations like this. To find out what Synergy Home Care can do for you, call anytime at 651-964-3727. Whether you need meal prep, housekeeping, personal care, or transportation, from a few hours a week to 24-hour care, together they will create a plan that gives you peace of mind and lets your loved ones stay right where they want to be, comfortable and independent in their own home. This is the home care agency you've been looking for, Synergy Home Care. For a free in-home assessment, call today, 651-964-3727.
You are the sun, shining down on everyone. Light of the world, giving light to everything I see.
Beginning of summer, lots of good things happening. Joining me is Paul Sadek, the golden voice of Relevant Radio.
I'm here.
Tell us all about what's happening in the
All
Twin
young
Cities.
Adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to Theology on Tap, presented by the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults. Connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith. Series is held Wednesday evenings, June 15th through July 20th at O'Gara's in St. Paul. Social hours 6:30 to 7:30, speaker at 7:30. Topics focus on faith and contemporary issues that directly affect the lives of young adults. This Wednesday, June 15th, come hear Dr. John Burry speak on intentional dating. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org or visit cathedralstpaul.org/CYA.
Hey men, listen up. Men are invited to the Catholic Watchman Rally at St. Hubert's Catholic Church in Chanhassen on Thursday, June 16th. That's next week. From 6:30 to 9 p.m., I will be presenting on Jesus Walking in Me, The Choices I Make. This Catholic Watchman Rally is an opportunity for men to draw closer to Jesus Christ and invest in fellowship with other men. There will be a time for adoration and confession. Dinner will be provided. No registration is required. A free will offering will be collected at the event. If you have any questions, please contact Susanna Bowley. That's Bowles. This is her email, Bowles, B-O-L-L-E-S, at archspm.org, or call 651-291-4411.
On Saturday, June 25th, Our Lady of Grace in Edina is holding the 6th annual Widow's Day of Reflection, a day of prayer, reflection, and the intercession of Mary, Mother of Jesus, and Widow of Joseph. This event is sponsored by the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, and will feature keynote speaker Father Richard Simon and Michelle Denise Michaels. Morning begins with 8:30 a.m. Mass and concludes after lunch. For more information and to register, visit olgparish.org or call Cheryl 952 952- 831-2656.
All are welcome to this year's Archdiocesan Rural Life Sunday Celebration hosted by St. Michael Catholic Church in Kenyon, which will be held at the Ron and Kay Keller Family Farm beginning at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday, June 26th. This celebration will include the Eucharistic liturgy and a creation blessing with Father Donald DeGrood presiding. Food, refreshments, and family fun activities to follow. For more information and directions, visit the events page on www.archspm.org or call the Office of Parish and Clergy Services at 651-290-1647.
And Father Joseph Gillespie invites you to St. Albert the Great Parish to join in a delightful concert series of summertime jazz. Second event in the jazz series is Sunday, June 12th, 1 to 3 p.m. Cost is $15 at the door. The June 12th concert will feature noted soprano Maria Jetty and talented pianist, accordionist Dan Chouinard. You may have heard them on NPR's Prairie Home Companion. And Jeff, you'll be back next week, won't you?
I will. We're going to be back with another show talking about discipleship and evangelization in the Twin Cities. We're looking forward to that. In fact, every week we do. We look forward to taking advantage of the show to communicate the good things of Jesus Christ. And by the way, I just might add that if you know of a topic you'd like to hear about on the Rediscover Hour, call the Archdiocese and talk to the Office of Evangelization, and we will entertain that idea. You have a great weekend. God bless you.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.